Amen. God is good. Amen. And I tell you what, it's a joy serving Jesus, isn't it? I would have my life no other way. You know, I thank him for the things that he's done in my life, the things that he's kept me from, the things that he's protected me from, the things that he's allowing me to do in the place that I get to go when I die or if I'm raptured up out of here. Amen. Man, he's wonderful. You know, but, you know, last night, my girls, they had a friend over, Faith, and, man, they about drove me crazy last night. Man, I'm telling you, man, last night, I couldn't, I had to go to bed, man. My wife, she scurbed out on me early. She went to bed at like 8:30, man, and I was left up with three giggly girls that would not stop. I'm sitting here trying to play a video game. They keep running in front of it, doing goofy stuff. I mean, man, about drove me nuts. You say, do you thank God for that? Yes, I do. Amen. He said to thank him in the good and the bad. That's right. And man, I'll tell you what, the Lord's good. I had a good time last night. They was making me crack up. I don't know if I was slap happy from just being up so much that yesterday, but they was making me crack up. But I can't see it happening any time in the future again, though, to be honest with you. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. If you would, stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, if you would just leave your finger there in 2 Timothy and turn back to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to preach this morning the day which we live in. This is the name of it, the day of conditional Christianity, the day of conditional Christianity. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your grace, God, for your long suffering. Father, for your patience, and Father, thank you for loving us in spite of us, Lord. Father, we need you this morning, Lord God. Holy Spirit of God, we need you to move in our hearts, stir us up, Lord God, to do something great for you, Lord, in these last days, these days of conditional Christianity. Lord, while others are moving away and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, help us, Lord God, to endure sound doctrine, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to stay with your word, Lord, to stick by the stuff, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God, through the ages, Lord. And help us, Lord God, to lift Jesus' name up the way that he deserves, Lord God, the way that you want it lifted up, Lord God. Please help us in these last days, Lord, to get busy, to get stirred, to do more for you, God, than we've ever had before. I pray, God, that you'd please, Lord, if somebody comes in here lost, Lord, please save them. And God, please, Lord, you know I need you, Lord. I need you every time I preach, Lord God, for you to get the honor and glory, Lord, for you to get your word across, for you to get your message across, not me, Lord. Help me not to say anything to discourage anybody, but to encourage, Lord. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The day that you and I live in, the day of conditional Christianity. You know, I do what others do as well. You know, I'll sit there and I'll look for the news channel, or I'll look for, you know, what what the news says. And, you know, you'll sit there and you'll scroll down on that television and you'll see what is playing. It used to be a TV guide. You remember that? You guys would get the TV guide and you'd have to look and see. These young people are like, what are you talking about? Well, you'd get a magazine and you'd have to open it up and see what's playing. But now you just scroll down and you can see what's playing. And I never thought in a million years that I'd ever see a TV show with the name of Lucifer. And the whole thing, you say, Brother Todd, you watch that? I've never watched it. I will not watch it. It's not for my eyes. It's not for your eyes. But one of my cousins, they watch it. And they told my mom, they said, you really need to watch it, Aunt Rita. It's hilarious. And she said, why would I watch that? Why would I watch something about that? And he said, well, no. It ain't like how you think. Lucifer in it is the good guy. He's the good guy in the story. How in the world did he come from the Bible being the bad guy to the 2016, the year that you and I live in, and now he's the good guy fighting criminals? I'll tell you how, because he is the prince and the power of the air. He is the one, the father of the children of disobedient. He is the one that controls this world by how much God lets him. And he knows he has a little bit of time. You would ask somebody that grew up in the 50s, would have you ever thought that there would have been a TV show called Lucifer? No way. Why? Because people wanted to know about God back then. There was no conditions on Christianity. The Spirit of God was moving, and people, they was accepting that. But now when the Spirit of God moves in this day of conditional Christianity, if it doesn't meet up with their conditions, they don't want nothing to do with it. Don't want nothing to do with it. And I started scrolling. I was like, what in the world? And then I came to Damien. They made a movie about him. He was the Antichrist. Oh, my goodness. I said, man, what in the world is going on with this? Then I went a little bit further. What happened to Highway to Heaven? Now it's Highway to Hell. Highway to Hell's on TV. And what else? The Bad Angel. It's on TV. I tell you what's happening. The devil ain't hiding no more. He's wide open, going full throttle, and he's deceiving everybody he can because he knows he has a short time. And that's them seducing spirits that it's talking about. It's crept in the church. People are dropping the name Baptist on their signs. They're going to the feel good, the itching ears, trying to make people feel good to come in to draw a crowd. Hey, listen, I remember one time, and I'll get into the message real quick. This is just introduction. I remember one time when I was going to a church on Sunday morning, going across 75 freeway. We hit Eureka, and I'm driving on the passengers on the slow lane. My wife, she drives on the fast lane. And I got to hold on. Scares me half to death. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not in control of the vehicle. But man, it scares me. Maybe I have control issues. But it scares me. But I'm driving on the passenger and I look over. One of my favorite places to drive past is Home Depot. My boys too, man. They're like, ah. Look, Daddy, Home Depot. Man, I was like, praise God. And I drive past it, and then there's a building next to it that says Metro Church. I'm telling you, it must have been standing room only. That parking lot was full, and it wasn't from Home Depot, people. It was packed with a bunch of cars. They was going into that church. Why? Why was that church so swollen? Why was it so swollen? And God remembered, and he let me remember, I even asked, what in the world? And God reminded me of an illustration. That old dead dog, I think I've told it here before. You know, you ride past an old dead dog one day, and the first day that he's dead, he's fine. He's just laying there. But you ride past that same old dead dog 4 days later, and that dog looks like a pig because it's so swollen. Hey, listen, they don't have the answers over there. You know what kind of church that is? That's a conditional church. I'll meet your conditions. You don't want me to preach about something? I won't preach about it. You don't want me to open this Bible? I won't open this Bible. You don't want me to look the part? I won't look the part. You don't want me to dress the part? I won't dress the part. You don't want me to talk the walk? I won't talk the walk. I'll do whatever you want me to. Praise God. God still has a handful of people. Amen. Amen. That want to hear what the Holy Spirit has for them. The day of conditional Christianity. Condition number one. I'll be a Christian if you stop preaching on the blood. If you stop preaching on the blood. Do you know how many churches do not preach on the blood of Jesus Christ anymore? A lot. Why? Because it's gory. It is. But you know what? I love the gore of the story. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Jesus Christ sacrificing himself for me, an old dirty, rotten, nasty, filthy, undeserving sinner. Without his blood, I'd have no chance. Without his blood, you'd have no opportunity. With God, listen, there's only one element that God has given mankind to wash away their old, nasty, disgusting, rotten, sinful sins and deeds. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Why in the world would a preacher take out the blood of Christ if that's the only way that can wash away their sins? You know why? Because people, they're giving heed to seducing spirits. Watch who you have around you. Watch who you have around you. I was listening to a testimony of a guy the other day. He said that he was brought up in devil worship. And the devil had him so convinced that, man, he was third in command in this state over here. And man, he said, and one of the things that he said he would do, he said he would go into churches, Bible-believing churches, and be a wolf. I wonder if there's any wolves in here today. If there is, I feel sorry for you. I really feel sorry for you because you will meet Jesus one day. And you will bow down to him one day. And you will give an account for your sin. And it will put you in the depths of hell. And this guy went and said, man, I'd go into these churches and I'd watch. And I'd look to see who was having problems because he read people good. If you don't think the devil's real, you're crazy. He's real. And if you don't think that he speaks to people, you're crazy. Because he does. And he said he'd watch these people. And he'd cast spells on these people. And he would go and as soon as he could get close to one of them, he knew he had them. Talking about a wolf. Talking about a demon-possessed individual just there to tear down the work that God wants to do. You know, condition number one, stop preaching on the blood. Don't preach about the blood. I don't want to hear about some man dying on a cross for me. It's just too gory for me. You know what? It is the most beautiful story I've ever heard in my life. That a man laid down his life for me. That I could have everything for eternity. Do I like it that Jesus had to? No, it breaks my heart. Every time I read about it, it breaks my heart. I sometimes even bypassed it because I don't want it to hurt so bad. I'm telling you, I have a beard. I grow a beard. I don't know what it would feel like if somebody would pluck my beard out of my face. My kids, they play and they'll pull on it sometimes and it hurts. Man, Jesus had his plucked out for you and me. They mocked our Savior. They put a crown of thorns on his head. I was working not too long ago, man, and I'm sitting here dusting my bag off. I emptied my bag, the sawdust in it. I was dusting my bag off, and I didn't know it was a stupid thorn bush right there. And man, my arm, my hand hit that stupid thorn bush, and man, it was like little needles went zing. Man, what in the world, man? What? And I looked at that thing, little thorns everywhere on this thing, and it brought to my remembrance, man, imagine what he went through for me. Man, they mocked our Savior. They stripped him of his clothes. He's naked. Humiliated for you and me. Couldn't even tell it was a man. He was beaten so bad. I've been in fights. And I've been bloodied up. And I've been through things. But nothing like that. Nothing like that. And for all that to take place so that I can go to heaven when I die, all that he laid down for me and all that he laid down for you, for a preacher or for some Christian to think that they can not talk about the blood to somebody, that saving blood that saved them from their sin, you discredit the Savior. You mess up the whole story. You mess up the whole plan. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I told a couple of people in here before, I don't believe Jesus is sinless. Yeah, I'm hitting on it. Crack. Out of the park. I don't believe he's sinless. What in the world are you talking about, brother? Oh, man. A couple of people and I cut their eyes. What? Hey, man. God showed me something. He gave me an old dumb, ghetto-fied. I don't have an education. But, man, God gave me something that is out of this world. I'm telling you the truth, and I thank him for it. I know it comes from him, and I ain't standing up here slapping my spiritual suspenders. I give him the glory. Now listen to this. Jesus ain't sinless. Look at what the Bible said. Without spot and without blemish. You and I, we're tainted. You and I, we have spot. You and I, we are blemished. You and I, very sinful. Jesus never had even a little bit. That word sinless is a compound word. You say, Brother Todd, you're getting educational. Amen, glory to God. It probably will never happen again. It's two words put together. Sinless. Less sin. Our Savior's blood was not have, it did not have less sin. It was without sin.
Right.
Without sin. The dictionary's wrong. Dictionary says, even in the 1800 ones, sinless means without sin. No, it doesn't. If that's the case, you and I have been taught wrong our whole life. What is a compound word? It's two words put together. It brings two words together to say what something means. Less sin is sinless. And that's what it said even back then. And I'm saying today it's wrong. Our Savior, there was no spot. There was no blemish. There is no sin in our Savior's blood. That's why you and I get to go to heaven when we die. Because his blood ain't like our blood. His blood ain't tainted like your and I blood. Now, you know what? Today, we are sinless. You and me, we are sinless. We do sin less. Tell me, do you still do the same things that you used to? Absolutely not. And if you do, there's something wrong with you. You need to get born again, because the Holy Spirit of God won't let you do it, because he'll haunt you and he'll haunt you and he'll haunt you until you get your rear end in church.
Right.
And do what he says. Without sin. That's our Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, if there was blemish or spot in there, we wouldn't be nigh to Christ, because his blood would be like yours and mine. It's precious, the Bible says. Precious. 1 John 1:7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know what that means? That he paid for us eternally. Listen, if I can lose my salvation this morning, Jesus' blood is tainted. And there's a whole lot of religion saying, well, I trusted in Jesus to save me, but I got to keep it. You did nothing to get it. His blood washes you from it. And right there, that one verse demolishes all of that doctrine of devil, seducing spirits that men are running to. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every revival meeting, every time their church meets, they're degrading the blood of Christ, saying that they could lose their salvation when the Bible says that he entered in once for eternal redemption. Eternal is forever.
Right.
His blood, without spot, without sin, without blemish. Without. See, look how sly the devil is. Just one word, sinless, that you and I have been taught. And by the grace of Almighty God in these last days, we know that it ain't like that. You get something in here, and you compact it in here, and it's in here, it's there. And it's by the grace of God that it can change. Same thing with our sin. It's by the grace of God that you and I are sitting here today and we don't sin the way that we used to.
Right.
Same thing with words. If it's up there, we'll think that's what it is, and that's what it is, and that's it. No. Start thinking without sin, without sin, without sin, and it makes it more precious. I'm telling you, it makes it more precious. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My sins ain't covered. My sins are washed. You get what I'm saying? There, it's not a covering. It's a washing.
Right.
They're gone. By what? By some tainted blood? By some blood like mine? No. By some precious blood. Some unique blood. Some blood that ain't like nobody else's blood. Some saving blood. Precious blood. Blood without spot, without blemish. Without sin. I'll be a Christian on one condition if you stop preaching on the blood. I ain't gonna stop preaching on the blood.
Right.
I'm not going to take that, the most important part of the plan of salvation, out of the plan of salvation.
Right.
And you shouldn't either. When it comes time to tell somebody about Jesus, you need to put that in there. That, wouldn't you say that's an important part of it? One of the most important part of it? The day of conditional Christianity. Number two. I'm hurrying. Condition number two, I'll be a Christian if you stop preaching out of that book. Out of that Bible. You say, well, Brother Todd, we have Bible. Out of that King James Bible. I'll be a Christian if you stop preaching that old English stuff. We don't talk about these and thous and ye's. They're hard to understand. Let me help you. Thee means you, thou means you, ye means you. Man, talk about deep. That's real deep, ain't it? I don't believe that's the Word of God. I do. And I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove it by one verse. Just let me say 50 more before it. In 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The King James Bible is the word for word translation. It's not a thought for thought translation. You say, what in the world does that mean? When they got down, they took this thing, this old thing written by this guy named Erasmus. And he was a Greek scholar, and he took the old, like he was talking about in Sunday school this morning, the Greek language was the dominant language. It was the conquered language in the world of the day that they made the king, the Greek, the received text is what it's called, the Textus Receptus. And this Greek scholar took the word of God and made it into Greek for the Greek language. And then they took that, and the Masoretic Jews, the ones that held true to the word of God. Man, I'm telling you the story of that. You ought to read it sometimes. Them Hebrews, the Masoretic Jews that handled the word of God, man, they would write the word of God down, and if it didn't line up, they'd do it all over. And if they, every time they use the word Lord, Jehovah, God, they'd throw that pen away, they'd throw that ink away, and they would dip a new pen in a new ink. They was real about what they was translating because they knew that it was pure. It is the words from Almighty God. Man, they was real. And if they would talk, man, if something happened, man, they would strip their clothes down, go take a bath, wash up, put new clothes on, sit back down, and they was real about it. And then after the Hebrew and the Greek, the Masoretic Jews and Erasmus, the Greek, the Textus Receptus, he wrote it in Greek. It was the dominant language of the time. And he taught on that in Sunday school. Alexander the Great made up, I believe it was divine. God knew what he was doing. It was a trade language. You go anywhere in the world that day and somebody spoke Greek that was wanting to trade with you. And you was wanting to trade with them. They knew the money, everything, Greek. Everything. Now, King James. They tried to make Bibles up in the King. King James was the one where they sat down. I think it's 47 scholars, word for word out of the Textus Receptus. Sat down word for word. They put that word, put it on paper. Take the word from the word of God, put it on paper. Take it from the word of God, put it on paper. Now watch this. That's where we get our King James Bible. 400 years, well, 300 something years. 200, almost 300 years later, two guys came up. We're going to make it our own Greek text. We don't like this old one. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with that old one? Two demon-filled, demon-possessed men named Westcott and Hort made their own Greek text. And you know what they did? They read it. Well, we don't think John meant this. Well, we think this is what he meant there. Well, this is what we think it. It no longer was word from here, put on word here. Word here, same word here. Word from the Greek, English word. Word from the Greek, English word. It was no longer that with Westcott and Hort. You know what they did? They went, well, I think this is what he meant here. Put the words here. Well, I think this, well, you know what? That don't even sound like him, so we'll take that out. He didn't mean that right there. So we'll take it out. How would you like it, fellas? This is the only way I can explain it. You write your love, the love of your life, a love letter, right? And you write some beautiful words in that love letter. Man, I mean, and you're putting your time in. It takes you about a week and a half to write because you're looking up words that can describe your honey. And man, you make it poetry. Beautiful. You put it on paper and you give it to her. Or no, you give it to somebody to give to her. And that somebody goes and starts, oh man, you don't want to say that. Starts erasing stuff. Oh, you don't mean that. Starts erasing stuff. Change this word here. Change. Now, when it gets to your honey, it ain't the words that you said. When it gets to the love of your life, it ain't the words that you said. Now what happens? It's not your word, it's what that person thought it should have been. That's exactly what happened with all of the other translations from the Revised Version from the 1800s till now. All a thought for thought translation. It's not from the Textus Receptus. It's not from the Greek man. It's not from the Hebrew. It's from these two demon-possessed men, Westcott and Horton. I tell you tonight, I tell you this morning, if you have one of them perversions, chuck it out of your house. It's giving you problems. If you have it, get rid of it. If you have it, throw it away. You don't need to be around it. You say, well, I got a new King James. Chuck it! It's a thought for thought. They take out Christ. They take out the blood. They take out the most important parts of the story. Why? Because the devil knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He couldn't kill. He couldn't destroy the word of God in Jeremiah. You remember the part when the king said, you know, throw that stuff in the fire. And what did God say? He said, write it down word for word exactly how it was. Word for word. Every word the same. He couldn't kill him on the cross. Is not Jesus the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus.
Right.
He is the Word of God. The devil couldn't kill him. He rose again. He died, was buried, rose again. Gospel story. Best story in the world. So what does he do now? He can't get rid of the Word of God, so what's he do? He perverts it. That's how you see all these churches taking their signs. Baptist Church off of their signs because they've switched to another book. And if they haven't, they're on their way. Because something has dropped. Now, I told you I'd prove it. If that didn't prove it, that little lesson, hey, you know what? Here it is. As for God, in 2 Samuel 22:31, I wonder if Samuel knew what he was even giving us a verse for this New Testament church. I don't know. 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. There is no other Bible that you and I, that is around today, that is tried more. The other ones ain't even tried.
Right.
The only one that is tried, that is put on trial on a daily basis, is that old King James Bible.
Right.
Why? Because it is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The NIV ain't putting on trial because it's in the devil's hand. The New King James ain't putting on trial. Why? Because it says exactly what he wants it to. These other ones, NASB and RSB and all these other ones, they ain't put on trial. Why? Because they're not the Word of God. What copy do you have today? What are you reading today? I would tell you, as somebody that truly believes from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And if you have something else, chuck it. It's not going to, well, I just read this, I study with this one, but I use the King James. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. You say, Brother Todd, do you ever cross-reference? Yes, I do, to show where they're wrong. That's exactly right. I did that little search on that spotless thing, talking about the blood of Christ. Guess what them other versions say? Spotless. Why? Because the devil knows what he's doing. The King James Bible is the one that says without spot. I think a couple other perversions say that, but you know what they take out? Christ, the blood, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. What else do they put in? What else do they take out? They take out literally chapters of the Bible. Why would you want something taken out that God has specially for you? I don't get that. The King James Bible. I'll come to your church if you don't preach that old King James Bible. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, I love it here. We get the Word of God here. I don't have to worry about that. And if I ever did have to worry about it, guess where I'd be? Gone. And if you'd be honest, you'd be gone. I know the King James Bible is the Word of God. Do you? Do you put your faith in that? If your faith is shaky on that, here's an altar today. Give it to God. Throw them other ones away, because the devil has, just like God has a plan for you, so does the devil. Don't be blind and say, oh, I don't believe that he can rule my life. He'll rule it if you let him. And if you know the truth about something and you deny it, and that's going to be the next point. You're in trouble and I'm in trouble. I'll be a Christian. Condition number three, if you stop preaching on the bad stuff that I do. You know why all these churches are full, these so-called churches, these perverted churches that are growing and swelling up? You know why? Because they don't preach on sin. They don't knock the bark off of you. You live a sinful, you walk a sinful life. I walk a sinful life every single day. Now, sure, we try to abstain, but this old broken body, it brings us down. This old flesh, it's real. It's a real war. And we're not perfect, and we fall down. The whole thing is about falling down is getting back up and giving God the glory and giving Him and keeping your eyes on Jesus. But you know what? Even though that we put our eyes on Jesus every day, we're wrapped in old sinful flesh. Does He give us a ticket to sin? Absolutely not. But when we sin, we need to realize, man, that we need to confess that thing, get rid of that thing, and look unto Jesus. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knew we was still going to sin. That's why the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He knew we wasn't going to be perfect, even though He tells us to be perfect. He still knew that you and I was going to fall down, and that we need Him still. If we wasn't ever going to fall again, if we was never going to make sin again, if we was never going to give over to the flesh again, there wouldn't be no war. We wouldn't need Jesus no more. But we need Him every single day. And these preachers are saying, oh man, you come to my church, I won't preach on your sin. I had a friend of mine. He's going to this one church called South Point, I think it was. South Point or something. He's like, man, it's weird over there. This guy come from down south. So, I mean, he come from the Bible Belt. He said, man, I don't understand over there. I said, what you mean? He said, man, they play rock and roll. He's like, they try to throw Jesus in there and stuff. He said, but man, it's weird. You know what he's doing? He's telling on himself that he has the Holy Spirit of God inside of him. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God inside of him is letting him know there's something wrong here. And this guy went to tell me, man, they want me to be a member of theirs. I said, buddy, you better beware, bud. I said, why don't you come to my church? And he was still dabbling in stupid stuff. And he knew that he'd get the truth here. That's why he'd never come. He knew that his life would change, and he wasn't ready to change. So, man, they keep asking me all this personal information. They want to know how much I make each week. They want to know how much I bring in. They want to know all this stuff. I said, man, it sounds like a cult to me. Then he said, you know what, man, they're just like a feel-good church over there. I've never been there. He just told me about it. I'm just telling you the words from a friend of mine from down south, from the Bible Belt. And it's just a feel good. You know what that is? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look what the Word of God says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, man, it gives me chills, some shall depart from the faith, them, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what a doctrine of the devil is? You're not a sinner. There ain't no such thing as sin. You're a good person. You're good. Do all you can for yourself. You're not such a bad guy. There really is no wrong. Man, that's all just to get you tied down and have order over you. That's a doctrine of the devil. You know what? The truth? We're all bad. We're all sinners.
Right.
We're all filthy. We're all undone.
Amen.
And that's why we need to preach on sin. I tell my kids, and I'm almost done. My kids, they'll come up, they'll say, every one of them, Daddy, I want to be saved. I said, well, do you know what sin is? No. I said, well, then you don't qualify. I said, what in the world, Todd? You don't tell them. Yeah, I tell them. But until they understand what sin is, they're not accountable for what they do. The Bible says, therefore, to him to know it to do good and do with it not, to him it is sin. Until they come to a place where they know they did wrong, you tell them that's sin. Okay, I know what sin is. It's when you do bad things. It's when you do bad stuff against God that God don't like. Now you qualify. See, the devil wants to keep people unqualified for heaven. Wants to make them think, man, you're not that bad. You're a good person. You're a good guy. You're a good woman. Hey, listen, you're not that bad. And that's why these churches, so-called, are springing up swollen because they don't preach on the bad stuff. Conditional Christianity. It kind of, I don't even like putting Christianity there, to be honest with you. A conditional false Christianity. I'll come to your church if you don't preach on the blood. I'll come to your church if you don't preach from that book. I'll come to your church if you don't preach on the bad stuff that I do. Conditional Christianity. The Bible says here, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In Ezekiel 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Do you know what's happening today? We're looking at sin as being okay. We're looking at sin as being not too bad. You know why? Because that's the way the devil wants it. And that's the way he's setting everything up. Are we going to be led by him? Are we going to be led by the Savior? And let people know, sin is still sin. It's wrong. It'll put your soul in hell if you don't repent and ask Jesus Christ by his blood to wash your sins away and ask him to forgive you for what you've done wrong. Do we make light of sin? Do we look at sin, something that God hates? Say, oh, it ain't too bad. Judging it as if it's light? Or do we look at it the way God looks at it? Here's an altar this morning. Revive. You know where revival starts? With you and me. Did the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning? I hope he did. I hope you allowed him to. You say, Brother Todd, have you ever pushed the Spirit of God away? Yes, I have. Have you? Let today be a different day to where we don't push him away and we say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. All that you did for me, yes, I'm yours. You've given me your word. It's put on trial every day. I have the true one. Yes, I'm yours. Lord, you've forgiven me for my sin. And I've been looking at it as a light thing. Not no more. Yes, Lord, I'm yours. I don't want to be that conditional Christian. I want to be that sold out Christian in these last days. That one on fire for you. That one that charges hell with a squirt gun. By the grace of God. Lord Jesus, I'm yours and you're mine. Today's a different day. Let's all stand together. Everybody's head bowed, everybody's eyes closed. 2 Timothy 4:4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They'll turn their ears from the truth and turn them unto lies. That's the day that we live in today. People would rather much hear a lie than to hear the truth. People would rather much hear that you could be good to go to heaven when you die than to hear Jesus Christ shed his precious blood without spot, without sin, without blemish for you so you can have a home in heaven eternally, everlasting life. People would rather hear, "Well, I can do good things. I can do good deeds. I'm not such a bad person." No, the Bible says you and I are. And we need Jesus. Without him, hellfire for eternity. With him, he goes to prepare a place for us. And we'll be with him forever and ever, everlasting life, eternal life. Let me ask this question this morning. This altar is open. You could come forward, you could pray. I want to ask a question. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do, would you raise your hand? As a testimony unto God, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Here's my hand. Okay, thank you. You may put your hands down. Let me ask another question. And I'm not trying to call you out. God is calling you out. What are you waiting for? Jesus died, was buried, and rose again so that you and I can have life. Eternal life. We try to go some other way, we fall short. God made one way of salvation, and Jesus called himself the way. He made it clear. There's no mystery. There's no riddle there. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way. This morning, tomorrow morning, the rest of eternity, he is the way. Now, if you couldn't raise your hand, God doesn't want you to leave here lost. He doesn't want you to leave here still hell-bound. He wants to rejoice with you and see salvation come to your house. That's what God wants. Man, it's a fearful thing to end up in the hands of God. I'm so glad that Jesus washed my sins away. And you would say, "Brother Todd, I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die, but I want to know. I sure do want to know, and here's my hand. I want to be saved." I've heard the story before. I've heard it again and again. And I know I'm lost. You know what? God has given you another opportunity to be saved. Why don't you jump on it? Why don't you grab hold of it? Because you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised to hear it again. But man, he was so merciful and so gracious and so giving and so loving and so kind for us to hear it one more time. Would you accept Christ this morning? Or would you deny him again? Christian, if you've been far away from God, today's the day to come back. Be on fire for Jesus. Be on fire for him. It's being lukewarm, it makes him sick. Being cold does absolutely nothing. But man, when we're on fire for him, that's when it counts, man. That's when it counts. You know, conditional Christianity is the day that we live in. Are you a conditional Christian? Do you read something from God's Word and say, oh, that ain't for me, that's for somebody else? Well, I like this part, but that part I don't really care. You know what? God gave us His Word for us. The blood is there. He's given us a true copy. The only one on trial today, the King James Bible. The only one. He's given it to us. He's given it to you. And he's made it to where everybody can have it. And oh yeah, English is the known trade language of today. You go anywhere in the world and you'll see English. Why? Because God made, He knew what He was going to, He knew. He's got a plan. Are you part of His plan? Do you want to be a part of His plan? We live in the day of conditional Christianity. Let's pray. Father, thank You, God, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, I pray, God, that those that couldn't raise their hand for salvation, Father, You know my heart, Lord. I ask, God, that You'd give them one more opportunity, several opportunities, God. Please don't let them die and go to hell, Lord. Father, Lord, please, God, You're merciful and You're gracious, Lord, and loving and so kind to us, Lord. We thank You so much, Lord, for meeting with us this morning. Help us to leave here on fire, hot for You, Lord God, wanting to do right in Your eyes. Lord, we love You, we thank You, and we praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.